Romans chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says this, Romans 2, 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now, who's he talking to? Who gets called out in verses 1 to 4 twice? Oh man, right? Okay. And chapter 2 follows what chapter? Chapter 1. Okay. That was an easy one. Amen. So what you got to keep in mind before we read this next passage is God has been talking to those that are lost, to those that are unsaved. He has been laying out the account of why they are deserving of God's wrath and judgment. Okay. Verse 6. To who he's talking about God now, who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. And tonight I want to preach to you on this thought: God will repay. God will repay. Let's pray. Ask the Lord to help us. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day, Lord. Thank you for the time to come back together, assemble with our church family. Lord, we sure hope the singing tonight has caught your attention, and Lord, that it's pleased you and put a smile on your face. And Lord, you said that you would inhabit the praises of your people. And Lord Jesus, you said where two or three were gathered together in your name, there you would be in the midst. And oh, Lord, we want you here tonight. God, we need you tonight, and pray that you'll help me as I speak tonight, that you would speak through me. The preaching would be in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, Lord, that we'd have clarity upon your perfect word. Lord, we know there's no contradictions in this Bible. We know there's nothing amiss and nothing that man has infused to this word without your inspiration and preservation. And so, Lord, help us to study and allow the word of God to change the way we think. And we'll sure appreciate that tonight, Lord, and pray you'll help us and you'll be glorified. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you just read that without reading chapter 1, you read those verses without reading the rest of chapter 2, without reading the rest of Romans, what you're going to come away with is God is going to reward those that do good with eternal life. And he will punish those that disobey and don't do good with everlasting life in hell. And we know God never gives eternal life based on physical works. Right? The Bible is so clear in so many places. You cannot earn eternal life through works of this flesh. Galatians says it, Corinthians says it, Romans says it, Ephesians says it, amen? It's all throughout the Bible. And so what you can't do is read a passage and say, well, that contradicts the rest of the Bible. No, the rest of the Bible complements this scripture. We've just got to figure out what it's saying in its context. Okay, this is how heresies get started. Guys will read a passage and say, well, see right there, works-based salvation, you can work it, God will give you eternal life, and that's not the case. You can't find that throughout the Bible. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 6, 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you still have questions about that, see Levi after the service. He's an expert in explaining the difference between gifts and rewards. And listen, that's why we do that for our kids. That's why we instill that in them, and we try to instill that in our church family so you understand we don't earn salvation by works. Salvation's a gift through Jesus Christ. Man. Okay, so you know that tonight. You agreed with that. So there we are. But let's see what this means in context. Okay? So if we look at chapter 1 and verse 21. Well, for a second time, yeah, verse 21. So what's happened, verse 18, verse 19, verse 20, God has shown himself to his creation. He has written into the heart of every man, every woman, there is a creator. I got to see a beautiful sunrise this week and posted that on our Facebook page for our church. Every time you see that sun come up, it testifies to the heart of man, there is a God. Every time the sun goes down, it testifies to the heart of man, there is a God. Every time the seasons change and then the seeds are planted and the seeds are harvested and the seasons come and go, God said all that's gonna happen just as long as he tells it to, and it's a testimony to the creation that there is a creator. Amen? And so, verse 18, 19, 20, the creation is testifying of the creator. Man has been shown the invisible things of God. He's been shown that he exists. He's been shown that it's clearly seen. God made the heaven and the earth. Okay? Now, verse 21. Who's he talking to in Romans 2? Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. That's the crowd he's talking to in Romans 2. The crowd that will not glorify God. Who else is he talking to? Neither were thankful. He's talking to the crowd that does not glorify God and is not thankful. Verse 23, he's talking to the crowd that changed the glory of God into an idol. Verse 25, he's talking to the crowd who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. Who's God talking to in chapter 2? He's talking to verse 28, those that did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Verse 29, that were filled with all kinds of sin. Verse 32, who knew the judgment of God but kept sinning anyway and promoted sin and rejoiced when other people sinned along with them. Okay, that's the crowd he's talking to. Who's he talking to in chapter 2? Chapter 2 verses 1 to 4. He's talking to the self-righteous. He's talking to the hypocritical. He's talking to those that despise his goodness, his forbearance, his long-suffering. And verse 5, those that have hard, impenitent hearts, which means they're not repentant, they're proud. That's who he's talking to in verses 6 down through verse 11. Now, you know enough Bible to answer this out loud. What do the people in chapter 1 and first part of chapter 2 that did all those things we just read, what do they deserve? They deserve hell. They deserve the wrath of God. They deserve the judgment of God. Right? God's been good to them. He's blessed them. He's helped them. He's let them live, and they keep turning against him, and they don't glorify him, and they're not thankful. You understand? There's only two outcomes to a person's life, heaven or hell. And to reject God, and can I go ahead and say it this way, to reject the light that God has put into every one of us is to put someone under the condemnation of God already. Okay? So what do they deserve? Wrath and judgment. What are they going to get? Verse 8. Remember, this is God Will Repay is the title of this message. Verse 8, but unto them that are contentious, who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, what do they get? Indignation and wrath. What else do they get? Verse 9, tribulation and anguish upon every soul. Why? Verse 11, because God's no respecter of persons. Okay? Upon every soul, the Bible says, that doeth evil of the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Well, so how do they get in this position? How do they get to the place where they're underneath God's condemnation and they're appointed unto wrath and all the things that we've preached about already? If you come back with me to John chapter 1, John chapter 1. John's the book that shows Jesus as God. I'm glad he is. John chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse 1. John 1, 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the," what's the next word? "The light of men." 5, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Would that not show forth over in Romans 1? Okay? 6, sorry. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." Who did John the Baptist bear witness of? Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen? And the whole point of John the Baptist's ministry, showing forth the light of Jesus Christ, was that all men might what? Might believe, right? Not work their salvation, not be a church member, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? 8, "He was not that light." John wasn't the light by his own testimony, "but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light." And here's the phrase, "which lighteth," how many men? "Every man that cometh into the world." Now, you run that word light through your Bible, you're going to find out that word light means knowledge, it means understanding, it means reasoning. And the light that's being talked about here is the light that's being talked about in Romans 1, albeit not with the same phrase, that when man is born, his creator, the Word, lights every man that comes into the world, gives him a knowledge and an understanding. There is a God. He had to make this that I see it. Nobody else could make this but God. And there's that light, there's that understanding that's put into every person. Now the Bible says in Psalm 119, I believe it's verse 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." You ever... Who's seen the cartoons when a guy finally gets it in the light bulb? You know where they got that? They got that from the Bible. The light bulb goes off and we say that, "Oh, I see the light," right? And so all those phrases about, "I get it, I understand, I can grasp that concept," that we see in our modern culture, it all comes from the Bible, and it's the light that God has put into every man, every woman that comes into the world. And the light is, the understanding is, there is a God. And He made you. And you'll be accountable to Him. I think God puts all that into a man, into a woman when they're first born. Now, the Bible says that the Word lighteth, or the light of God lighteth every man that cometh into the world. If you hold your place right here in John, we're going to come right back to it, okay? Come back over to Romans 1 with me. How many of you have walked through this church building in the middle of the night? How many of you left the lights off as you walked through this church building in the middle of the night? Okay. You can do it. You're taking your life into your own hands. Because oak pews are harder than whatever shoe you got on. Or you can reach over and flip a switch and the light comes on and then you know exactly where to go. Okay, Romans 1, verse 19. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them." There's lighting every man that cometh into the world. "For God hath done what?" Showed it. He's shown the light, if you will, on the truth. There is a God, there is a creator. Every man, every woman knows. They may not know who he is, but they know there is one. Okay, 20. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are" what? How do you make something clearly seen? You shine some light on it. Amen? "They're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. All right, now come back to John 1. All right, so Jesus Christ is the true light. Amen. He's the Word of God. He's the capital L light. And the Bible says, he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own did what? Did they have the light? Sure they did. What'd they do with the light? They ignored it. They turned their eyes from it. They said, we don't want to see that. They knew it. Romans 1. They had the knowledge. They had the understanding. But they chose to deny the truth of the revelation of God himself that he put into every man and every woman when they come into the world. So what do they deserve? Tribulation and anguish. Wrath and judgment. Verse 12. But as many as received him. Well, I'm glad not everybody did. I'm glad not everybody rejected him. Let me clarify that. I'm glad not everybody rejected the light. There are some people who respond correctly to the light. There are some people that they respond correctly to the revelation that God gives them. And if they'll respond correctly to the first revelation that God gives them, guess what? He'll shine the light a little bit more. And they respond to that and receive that by faith. And he'll shine the light a little bit more. Right? The Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. How many of you, now this is not a proud statement, okay? Please don't take it that way. How many of you would say tonight, Pastor, I know more about God and the Bible than I did the day that I got saved sitting here right now tonight? That's the way it's supposed to be. Okay? But you know, you being saved wasn't the first emanation of light that you received in your life. The Bible says that God lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There is a God. We have that innate knowledge, that innate understanding. And if we will respond to that properly, God continues to open up more understanding and send more light because we're responding to the light properly. Okay, now come back to Romans chapter 2. Everybody okay with that right there? All right. So the Bible says in Romans 2 verse 6, that God will render to every man according to his deeds. And he says, verses 8 and 9, unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, that would mean that they ignore the light they've been given, but obey unrighteousness. They're not walking in the light as Jesus is in the light. They're walking in darkness, right? The Bible makes a lot of applications to that. He says, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, and the Jew first, also the Gentile. Could we just say this tonight? That's how God pays back those that ignore the light he's given them. They reject the light, God rejects them. It's not that God's unfair. He gave them the light. They just rejected it. He gave them the understanding. They said, we don't want to understand that. He gave them the knowledge. They said, we're going to change that into a lie. That's all Romans chapter 1. Okay? So God will repay, and when God repays, he's righteous. Every single time. But now let's get the next one. Let's get the hard ones. But I've laid all that groundwork to show you the principle. Okay? God repays men based on how they respond to the light he's given them. Okay? Verse 7. To them who by patient, the next word is continuance. Well, that's a process. Do you agree? Not instant. If it's instant, it'd be one and done. Continuance is a process. Step by step. By patient continuance in well-doing. And the next word is, did God not invite man to seek you the Lord while he may be found? Did Jesus not tell those Jews, ask and ye shall receive, knock and it shall be opened unto you, seek and ye shall find? Do you not believe that there are people on this earth that God has lighted them when they come into this world, and they're seeking for truth, they're seeking for knowledge, they're seeking for a closer relationship with God? They may not sit in an independent Baptist church in Russell County, or they might. But regardless, there's continuance. They're seeking. And the Bible says they're seeking for glory and honor and immortality. And then you come down to verse 10, it says, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, the Jew first and also the Gentile, because God repays based on how man responds to the light he's been given. Those that reject the light, wrath and judgment. But those that respond to the light, God will bless them. He'll send them more light. He'll send them more light. He'll send them more light until eventually they're saved and they have eternal life. And he said, preacher, that's a little far-fetched. Well, if I show it to you in the Bible, would you believe it? If it's in context, right? Acts chapter 8. You don't have to turn. Acts chapter 8. Philip is down in Samaria, and there's a big revival going on in Samaria. People getting saved left and right. And the Holy Spirit comes to Peter and says, I need you to remove yourself from this wonderful place and go and find a man who's going south out of Jerusalem, and he's going back to Ethiopia, Africa. And Philip gets carried by the Spirit to this place, and he's standing there, and he sees this Ethiopian eunuch coming, and he goes and he joins himself to the chariot, the Bible says, and he says, understandest thou what thou readest? This Ethiopian eunuch is reading the scriptures. He's reading a copy of what we understand to be Isaiah 53. What a passage to be reading. I don't know what he paid for that over there in Jerusalem, but that's a good investment, amen. You know what that man was doing in Jerusalem? He was coming to worship God the best way he knew how. He didn't have the New Testament revelation. He didn't have the Pauline epistles that we have today. But this man in Ethiopia heard there's a God. It resonated with his spirit. I know there's a God. There has to be a God. Look at all this. And somebody said, well, if you want to know God, you got to go to Jerusalem. That's the people of God up there. Okay, give me a chariot. I'm going to Jerusalem. And he takes off and he gets up there and he worships in the synagogue or worships in the temple or however he does it. And he's leaving out of there. And God said, look at that guy. He doesn't have it all right, but he's doing the best he can. Hey, Philip. You got your flashlight, Philip? Oh, yeah, Lord. All right, I need you to go and show this guy some more light. And he gets up in that chariot and he says, understandest thou what thou readest? And the man says, how can I except some man guide me? And he began at that point, the Bible says, in Isaiah 53, and he preached unto him Jesus. And as they're going along, that Ethiopian eunuch, he's receiving that light. He's just eating it up. He's just sucking it in. And they get to water and he goes, well, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I believe. And they baptize him, and he gets up out of the water, and Philip's gone. Carried away by the Holy Spirit, doesn't get to sit around and make sure he got saved. Amen? What is that? That is God rendering to a man of Ethiopia, Africa, the light that his soul was longing for. And God moved Philip from Samaria to that place, and then moved him out of there just as quick as he brought him in. Why? Because a guy was responding to the light he'd been given. Continuance. Seeking. We could talk about Acts chapter 10, Cornelius. Remember Cornelius? He's an Italian soldier. He's sitting in his house. And, you know, I imagine some of those Roman guys came out of Rome and all that paganistic godless society that they were in. They got in Jerusalem. I think some of the Jews were living according to the Word of God. I think some of them were living right. Amen. And he gets there and he gets stationed in that place, and his neighbors are witnessing to him, and the Jews are being kind to him. He's being kind to them, you know, being neighbors and all that kind of stuff like we're supposed to be. And he's getting some light. He's responding to it the best he knows how. He's praying. I don't know that he understands the God he's praying to, but he's praying. And God in heaven says, "Angel, come here." "Yes, sir, Lord." "See that guy down there?" "Yeah. His name's Cornelius." "Okay. Go down there and tell him to call for Peter." Now, could God have just sent the message by the angel? Sure. But he wants Peter to get off the housetop and lose his prejudice and go talk to this Roman Gentile soldier. And so he sends the angel down and he appears to Cornelius. "You need to send for Peter. He'll come tell you all the things you want to know." And so he sends for Peter. And of course, Peter's having the dream. You know, all that stuff's going on. And the Lord tells him not to call the things common that God has cleaned up and sanctified. And so Peter comes off the roof and guy shows up at the door, and Peter goes with him, and he goes to this Gentile house. Now, you got to admit to me, for Peter, that's probably a very difficult thing. That was uncomfortable for him. Because to him, those Gentiles are still unclean. Okay. He walks in, and Cornelius says, "We're ready." And Peter begins to preach Jesus. And as he preaches, the whole house believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because one man's responding to the light that God gives him. And finally, God gives him the light that he's looking for. You satisfied or you need one more? Acts 16. Don't have to turn. Paul's left Antioch. He wants to go to Asia. Remember that? And what's the Bible say the Holy Ghost did to Paul concerning Asia? Forbid him. You're not going to Asia. And I'm sure Paul's sort of scratching his head. Why not, Lord? And he has a dream a few nights later, and there's a man of Macedonia. Remember this? And the man in the vision says, "Come over unto us and help us." Paul gets up the next morning and tells the guys, "We're going to Macedonia." Why? God said to go there. Somebody wants the truth over there. And they get to Macedonia and they come into Philippi. You remember the story, Acts 16, and they go out there by the river, and there's those women having a prayer meeting. Lydia, she's from Thyatira over in Turkey. There's going to be a church there eventually, but not until she gets saved here in just a minute. And they're praying, and they're talking to God the best they know how. They're seeking the truth. They're seeking the light. And God says, "Hey, Paul, I don't want you to go to Asia, Paul, because in Asia they're not interested in me. I want you to go to Macedonia because there's a woman there that needs to hear the gospel. And when she hears it, she's going to believe because she's looking for the light." And Paul preaches Jesus to her. She gets saved, some of those women get saved, and then they get thrown in jail. Remember, Brother Knox preached a wonderful message, preached all this. And in jail, God sends an earthquake, and they're singing hymns at night, and the jailer springs in when all the gates are open and says, "Are you still here?" "We're still here." And the guy says, "What must I do to be saved?" There's the man of Macedonia. Amen. Looking for some light, looking for some help. Paul tells him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house." And that man gets saved in his whole house, and there's a church in Philippi because of that. And God said, "You don't go to Asia, Paul. They're not interested. But I want you to go to Macedonia." I think it's the same thing as to why the Holy Ghost told him not to go back to Jerusalem. Because when in Jerusalem, they've already rejected Jesus. They crucified him. And God knows, son, they're not looking for the light in Jerusalem. They're blind in Jerusalem. Remember Jesus preaching all that to those Pharisees? Paul's going to go back, he's going to go back, he's going to go back. And do you remember who it was that started the ruckus when he got in the temple in Jerusalem? It was the Jews of Asia, of all people. The point of all this is that God will send the light where hearts are responding to the light. And God will cut the lights out when the light is no longer wanted. We got 91 missionary ministries back there on that wall. We got 5 coming to our missions conference in a few weeks. I love missions. You know what I like to see? I like to see men go where God sends them, where people are looking for the light. I think a few testimonies of this will suffice. I think one of the main people that we support, that God sent that man to this place to shed the light upon hearts that wanted it, is Brother Junior Haley. I love Brother Haley. He's a wonderful missionary pastor. And when he came here and presented his work, I kind of scratched my head. And Brother Farley made a comment. I went with Brother Farley's comment. But that man could see something that the people of Belgium wanted the light. And Brother Haley says, "I'll go." And God put him over there. And what a fruitful ministry. You think about the Allens that went to Papua New Guinea and some of the ones that went to Brother Sutek in the Philippines. Have mercy. Brother Sutek's having the time of his life. He's probably looking for the rapture, but he might not want to go just today. Okay? What is that? We call the Philippines and Papua New Guinea, we call them God's harvest field. Well, why is that? Because they were looking for the light. You know, America was the harvest field at one time. People were looking for the light. I don't know about that in 2026. Why did Brother Logan and so many want to get into Eastern Europe when the communist wall fell and that block fell? Why did they want to get in there? Because people were starving for the light. How many of you went on that first trip to Romania, that big 2-week campaign? How many of you went on that? Handful of you? I'll never get the image out of my mind of those ladies, those old ladies coming in there and holding that Bible and kissing that Bible, just weeping. Why, they've been in darkness so long and the light's finally sprung forth and God sent men upon families into those places to give them the light of the gospel because their hearts wanted it. That's the principle of Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. Those who want God, they'll find Him. Those who don't want God, they won't find Him. Those who respond to the light that God's given them, He'll bless them along their journey step by step. Those who reject the light that God has given them, tribulation and pain and anguish. And if they're not saved, ultimately wrath and judgment. And the point of this, coming into these verses out of chapter 1 and chapter 2, is God is looking at a group of people that had every advantage in the world, the Jews. And yet, for the most part, they rejected the light that was given them by God. And of course, you know chapter 2 is an indictment against self-righteousness. It's an indictment against religious deception like we preached this morning. So that's the verses in context. Somebody that wants to know more about God, He'll reveal Himself to them. But when a person says, "I've had enough," just like on that road to Emmaus, oh, what a picture that is. Those two disciples walking and Jesus joins them and begins at Moses and begins to preach unto them Himself, everything in the law and in the prophets. And they get to where they're going. Far as they're concerned, the journey's over. Wonder what they could have found out if they'd have went on with Jesus. Because He made as if He would have gone further. But the Bible says they constrained Him. Church tonight, everybody that's here for the most part, maybe some of our younger kids, everybody that's here has got a testimony of salvation. Praise the Lord for it. You've responded to the light God's given you. But remember, it's continuance. Remember, it's seeking. Remember, salvation is a journey of faith, step by step. And I'm telling you, the danger in Spring City Baptist Church, this church has been here 90 years, shining the light in Russell County, Virginia. I ask for a raise of hands of who knows more about God and who knows more about the Bible now, today, than you did the day you got saved. Almost every hand in the room went up. That's good. But the danger is we get to a comfortable place like the two on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus says, I'd like to go a little further. And we said, no, this is as far as I'm going to go. And we stop responding to the light. We stop responding to the teaching. We stop responding to the truth that God gives out through His Bible three times a week here. And every heart in this room has to stay in love with Jesus. Every heart in this room has to remain tender. Every heart in this room has to remain teachable. I just read the verse this morning over in Ecclesiastes that better is a poor and wise child than a rich and an old king who will no more be admonished. You all know this. We went through the perfection series. Everybody here knows none of us have arrived. We're not perfect yet. God's still shining some light. He's still wanting to bring us along this journey. But if we get to a place where we say, oh, Lord, we know it all. We don't need that. No, Lord, I mean, thanks for showing that to me, but I'm not interested. He's liable, just like he told the Ephesian church, he's liable just to turn the light out. Boy, I don't want that. This principle about God repaying is not just true in terms of eternal life. It's true in terms of everyday life. You're familiar with Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the next verse tells you, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap what? That's good advice, the corruption for those listening over the radio. That's good advice for our everyday life, is it not? It doesn't just work for eternity, it works for right now. And God said, I'll repay. Boy, I want the Lord to be able to bless me. I don't want Him to have to curse me. I want the Lord to be able to bless our church. I don't want Him to turn the lights out. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 2:6 that God will render to every man according to his deeds. And verse 11 says there's no respect of persons with God. And so, church, if we take anything out of this tonight on our practical application of this passage, it would be this. It'll be up to us to determine how God repays Spring City Baptist Church. I'd sure like to see blessings, amen. I'd like to see glory and honor and all the things that those verses said. I'm not interested in having the lights turned out. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you.